Conversations with Linda now. We're going to take your phone calls, stories, questions, you name it. We've got it on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Linda Moulton Howe with us and your questions and stories. And there are many there, Linda, as they line up. How about any events coming up for you, or is this it for the year?
I will, when I get off of Coast at 3 a.m. my time, I will take a short 3 or 4 hour nap and then get up to go to the airport to go to Santa Clara, where we're going to have Alien Con. And Kim Sheeran and I and others have been exchanging emails. It sounds like it's going to be very fun.
We're
going to
have a great time. And you're getting there early. I'm getting there probably around 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I don't get there until I think it's mid. It's earlier, mid-afternoon, because I have to go through LAX and I have a layover.
It's pouring out there right now.
Really?
Yeah, San Jose area. It's really
rain, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm glad you told me that. I didn't know.
Make it go away.
Well, I'll make sure I've got an umbrella.
You got it. Okay, let's take some calls here for you. We'll go to Tom in La Jolla, California. Thomas, welcome to the show.
George, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for everything that you and your staff do.
Well, thank you.
And Linda, I wanted to express my appreciation and gratitude. I'm very thankful for your excellent work in investigative journalism.
Thank you.
My question, Linda, is about the extraterrestrial presence and the possibility of nuclear war among humanity. And there's been so many incidents where we have almost had nuclear exchanges between the major countries of the world, between Russia and America. It's been documented by people like Peter Pry and Seymour Hersh and other journalists, times that we've almost gone to the brink. Peter Pry documented at least a dozen incidents in the 1980s and 1990s, where Russia and America were literally minutes away, seconds away from nuclear launch. My question is, does the extraterrestrial presence, and I realize there may be factions among the extraterrestrials, is there a non-interventionist policy, or would they possibly intervene in a nuclear launch scenario, even a limited nuclear exchange between nations?
It happened over and over and over in the 60s and the 70s, even into the early 80s. All of the stories from Robert Salas, who was 80 feet underground at Malmstrom near Great Falls, and had that was one of the security people called him down in one of the Minuteman missile silos and said, there is this huge red sphere and it's right over the security gate and we don't know what to do. And it was the beginning. This is how it began, the period of time when they had, I think it was that night, and Bob Salas has put it in a book, that this, whatever that was in the red glowing light, was able to demonstrate that it could take 10 Minuteman nuclear missiles down one at a time. I believe it was every 6 seconds. Boeing, I was fortunate enough to do an interview with one of the Boeing engineers who went to this particular missile silo, and he told me on the phone, Boeing had made the system, and he said it was not physically possible to have the Minuteman missiles going offline every 6 seconds. There was no physical way that humans had made for that to occur. It had to have been under the influence of the UFO that was the glowing red disk above. Now, there have been many dramas. We could talk a long time about the dramas. The bottom line that a lot of people who have worked in the Air Force and were down in those missile silos came to the conclusion, whatever's in those UFOs, they have the power to stop, manipulate, and that they do not want there to be missile launches that would lead to nuclear war. And that leads immediately, in my mind, to the question that I and a few others have tried to understand. Are we dealing with intelligences? Because they tell the abductees, this comes in telepathic communication to abductees, you don't understand that when you split an atom on your matter world in the dimension that you are in, that you are tearing through into other dimensions and causing destruction, and that the implication is that the non-humans that have the ability to manipulate our nuclear missiles are not going to allow us to affect other dimensions. So if that's true, then it means the answer to your question, which I hope is true, that non-humans who have some vested interest in keeping some kind of peace between this dimension and other dimensions are not going to allow us to go to nuclear war. At least that's the way it's been so far, and that they may have been responsible, the non-humans, the alien presence, for the incidents that you have described where we were up to the brink and something always stopped it.
Linda, I had Seth Shostak from SETI on earlier this week. I think the world of him, but he does not believe that we've been visited. He's going to be at AlienCon this coming weekend. And
we all ought to sit down and
talk. Yeah, a little chat.
I can't imagine how SETI has been disconnected from General McCasland, from General Kerry, from Robert Weiss.
These are real people.
Absolutely, and they have the clearances for the highest secrets in the land, and that's another thing. People may work in the Air Force or work at SETI or something. If you don't have a need to know to have a special access, you're not going to know anything. So I have been fortunate in my life for a whole complex variety of reasons to be able to talk with people either near their death or after their retirement who I think have talked to me quite straight. And this is a big deal. It's extremely complex. I agree with Grant. And for Seth Shostak to say that to you, it seems incredible to me, because I know that people who have had special access to what's going on in the interactions with non-humans, that they're telling me at least the truth as they know it, and it seems strange that he would not have had the same kind of conversation.
Okay, back to the calls we go. Let's go to Miranda in California, Wildcard Line. Miranda, you're on with Linda.
Thank you so much, George. Linda, you met me years ago out at Avenue D and 109th Street. There was a place called The Plateau, and I had some property out there. And a gentleman who was, I called him the UFO evangelist, because he was like an evangelist the way he would communicate. But he introduced you to me. And also, we have a mutual friend, Dr. Lear. And I'm not allowed to say
God
too much
bless
about
him wherever he is. And
yeah.
What
I know. There's a large backstory, which I'm like not really allowed to talk about, but I want to say something to you. First of all, congratulations. You've done a brilliant job of what you're doing.
Thank you.
And I feel the world's going to be a safer place because you're giving the information people need to hear.
I hope
and
so.
George has given you the podium to do that. And also I have something. You just said something that was just incredible. My late stepfather is Dr. Sam Cunha of NASA and of Plant 42. And I am in two careers, the arts and sciences. And I was asked by the government to get out of the sciences and the UFO stuff. So I handed my baton to Dr. Lear, and he's done a brilliant job of the information. But I want to share something with you. You said that one of the people that died, died on the same day of his project.
This is Edgar Mitchell. He died, he walked on the moon for the first time on February 5th, 1971.
Apollo 14.
And he died the evening of February 4th, 2016.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. My father did Apollo 13, and he died exactly April the 17th at 3:33 p.m. And he knew all these people, and I didn't realize till after he died that I had been living in a very classified family. And even though I worked at NASA and did all that, I just had a lighthearted attitude about it until he died. And then I saw government people and very, very disturbing things happened in my life that threatened my life that I don't know if I could ever tell anyone.
Well, did they come in to get his files?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the whole family we were a really close Brazilian family, like the big fat Greek wedding, and all of a sudden every single person in my family turned against each other, including me, and the whole family wanted to see to it that I was isolated and no longer involved with anybody. And then that segued into another story, which I have a book coming out probably in 2 months. But my story, I would just love to be able to give it to someone who can utilize it to settle.
Well, is it focused around, do you have firsthand knowledge through your family or your work of an alien presence?
Way beyond that. Way, way beyond. That's child's play compared to what the stuff I've seen and experienced. But I've been shut up. I've been made to not. And everything that I have said, I've had to go off radar because evidently there are certain people that are chosen, that are given clearance to deliver this information. And I was specifically told, Miranda, stick with your entertainment. Be the crazy artist that you are. So that's what I've done. But I kind of feel like I've been gagged because there's so much more information. It doesn't serve me. I'd rather give it to someone who can set other people free, and I don't need credit for it. My goal was to, when I got into the sciences, when I worked at NASA, I wanted to know the truth about the UFOs and why are they here. And I have so much information, and it's just turning to
dust. What's your bottom line on why?
I'm sorry?
What's your bottom line on why are they here?
Oh, the aliens?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good question. You know what? There are several of them. There are several races. There are several agendas. It's kind of out of control. What I think they're here for is they've depleted their world of a lot of the elements that we have, and I also think genetics has a big part to do with it, because I think they need genetic material, because you just can't go out and purchase that. You have to. That's from God.
Well, let me ask you this, Linda.
A remote viewer who worked for the DIA, Lynn Buchanan, said that to some of the non-humans in this universe, Earth is like a supermarket.
It is indeed. No question about it. Do you think some of the cattle mutilations, animal mutilations, they're taking body parts also because they may need them for some kind of genetic thing that they're doing?
I wish I had a really solid answer, because it's very confusing that it couldn't just be experimentation to have thousands and thousands of animals around the world. It's constant, George. It never stops. Animal mutilations have been going on probably for a million years. And this is the supermarket aspect, that there is genetic material here that something has a vested interest in and may need in order for it to survive. It could be that there is a symbiotic relationship between one of the alien presences and the evolution of life on this Earth. That might explain them, but there are too many others, and there are too many other agendas. It really is complex. And if Earth is fundamentally looked at by all of them as a laboratory, that's what William Mills Tompkins said in that interview that I did with him earlier this year after his book came out, revealing that he had been this sort of savant teenager who could do those scale models, and the Navy took his talent, and that's when he was introduced to the fact that there were ETs and there were intergalactic trade routes and all of this stuff, and that we as a human family have been kept completely in the dark for the most part for the last 5,000 years, going back at least to Mesopotamia, when apparently it did not serve the Anunnaki for the humans that they had created to be their slaves to know that they were extraterrestrials. And so you get these compartmentalized pieces of information in our history, and we humans have been largely kept in the dark. And I think the answer for why is it's much easier to control us through religion and through governments when we don't know the truth behind the matrix is competing extraterrestrial intelligences.
No doubt. Jeff in Culver City, California is with us now. Jeff, go ahead.
Hi, George and Mrs. Linda Moulton Howe.
Yes.
I just want to say thank God for Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. Hopefully he has much, much more to reveal, not only on the UFO mysteries and lies, but yeah. Hillary's shenanigans. But earlier in your part two, Mrs. Howe, your segment, you mentioned that, one, there may be a war going on now in deep space, but in a parallel dimension. I believe this is happening. Yet only certain individuals are given glimpses of this conflict, so therefore everyone cannot see what's going on. And two, you mentioned that there may be underground alien bases deep in the ocean in the Bermuda Triangle area. Well, that too is a possibility. But my question is this, Mrs. Howe, why do you think that these alien beings are so elusive and secretive to us ordinary humans, especially these beings are quote-unquote friendly visitors? And since there are so many sightings of different size, shaped alien crafts, you know, like giant tops, saucers, elongated metallic caterpillar-like crafts, and so on, why do you think that so many of these crafts all seem to have the same mysterious beam of white or blue light which paralyzes, silences, and elevates human being abductee victims? I'll take your answer up there.
Okay. Well, you're asking good questions, and it comes back to what I was reading from the communication from the NSA and the DIA agents to me in 1994 through Ray Boucher, and that was they were saying that we are dealing with non-human entities that are manipulating all of us.
And I'm going to let you finish that up when we come right back, Linda, on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our special guest, Linda Moulton Howe, has been with us with some incredible stories. And, of course, your phone calls, the lines are jammed. The time is clicking, Linda. Let's go back to the phones.
Well, could I just pick up?
Yeah. Oh, that's
caller,
right. Yes, yes, yes.
The caller before the break had asked an excellent question that has haunted a lot of us, and that is, why is it that the alien presence prefers secrecy, is not straight with us? And that leads to the issue of agenda, and that when I had received that floppy disk from the agents that were NSA and DIA through Ray Boucher, they said the non-human entities, or NHEs, being dealt with in our Psi weapons development and who are apparently allowing themselves to be used for a time are neither benevolent nor neutral. That's one of the most haunting sentences in my career. And are neither benevolent nor neutral means that they are biased to a side that is against us, but that they are allowing themselves to be used or to play a role as if they were in some collaboration with this Psi weapons development that they're referring to. So the bottom line here is that the very fact that our government has chosen secrecy, the ETs have chosen secrecy, and that the alien presence on this planet may have been here for 270 million years, according to one DIA agent. That all of a sudden throws it into 16 layers, because that means that you have intelligences that have been on this planet, in this solar system, in the Milky Way galaxy, for millions and millions of years before there was ever any standing up primate on Earth that evolved into Homo sapiens sapien. That means that we are denied the truth about our origin. We are denied the truth about who the Anunnaki and the Greeks and others were that were looked at as gods, and they weren't gods, they were ETs. And this right now feels like going into 2017, that perhaps we are finally at the cracking of the ice level, where we're going to start seeing not only cracks, but we're going to start getting holes through these walls that have been built around humanity by both non-humans and some controlling aspect of humanity, that it has also served power to keep the secrets to a tiny minority. When if all of us on this planet who are human were told all of the truth, let every chip fall where it may, and we could start over again as a planet, knowing the truth of our origin, what manipulates us, and what is neither benevolent nor neutral, and what are the insects that Ronald Reagan was told were quote-unquote nasty and a true enemy. We need to know about it, not to run away, but with knowledge we have strength.
I like that, Linda. Well said. Okay, back to the calls we go. We go next to Tim in St. Mary's, Georgia, east of the Rockies. Hi, Tim. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Linda. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you.
I just want to give you a little bit of my knowledge that I've learned over the years and experiences. I've been very blessed to have my eyes open to the spiritual world through Bible study, speaking after God pressing in. He has shown me so many miracles and so many manifestations of the spiritual world. He has shown me that everything that exists in a physical plane is directly proportional to what exists spiritually.
Now, you know, Tim, I can barely hear you. Are you talking right into your phone?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
A little better, yeah.
Okay. I was saying that I have, through Bible study and pressing in, God has blessed me, allowing my spiritual eyes to be open. I've seen many manifestations of the spiritual world, and he's taught me that everything that is physical is directly proportional to what exists spiritually. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what Edgar Mitchell, if he were on the line, that's what exactly his argument would be, that the reality is sort of incomprehensible to us in the 3D matter world. That frequency is everything, and frequency means that's why there could be other dimensions. There can be dimensions overlaying each other. One physicist said to me, where you're sitting in front of your computer is one frequency, but you could have dinosaurs running right where you are, quote-unquote, if you're thinking about it in terms of space, and then you flip your mind to think about a chord and a piano when you hit C, middle C, E, and G, and you can hear that chord. Those frequencies are different mathematically, but they are creating a sound by the three blended together. The same with color. When you cast gels in front of light and you can mix red and blue and get purple, you can do that with a gel. The space where you are putting the gels in doesn't change, but it's the color frequencies that will change the reality of what we'll call, I'm using a metaphor, of frequency to two dimensions. And that in the Podesta emails that Edgar Mitchell sent Podesta, he is talking about the extraterrestrial intelligences, the ETIs, are not from this dimension. Those are his words in his letter. Now, what Edgar Mitchell was basing that on, I'm not sure, but it has been a constant theme in the human abduction syndrome that not everything that comes through a wall, comes into a bedroom, lifts somebody up, a human or an animal, in a beam of light, is not necessarily from inside this matter universe. And that may be a big jump for people, but I think this is where it is evolving, that Mitchell and Grant and others, that they're right to be sort of stretching our whole definition of extraterrestrial. But right now, we on this planet, we need to get past the prison, a social prison that we have been put in as a species for thousands of years by something that had a vested interest in our remaining ignorant while we have been used, harvested, and manipulated.
Let's take a few more calls here, Linda, then the clock's got us. Long Island, New York, we go. Rick is with us. Hey, Rick.
Hey, George. Great show, as always.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Linda, I spoke to you a number of years ago. I've got a quick question for you and also a little devil's advocate I'd like to play. Remember the story you told about the guy was worrying about nuclear missiles and whether they interfere with things?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you gave the explanation about when we set off a bomb in this universe, it sends waves through other dimensions which are harmful to the other people.
Right.
So they're not
going
to let a nuclear war happen.
Yeah, Robert Salas, this is just food for thought.
If that's true, how come they let that clown in North Korea do all those underground nuclear?
It's a very good question. What in the heck is that guy, and why is he obsessed with this idea that if he can get a missile that will reach Michigan or Minnesota or Wisconsin in the United States, that he will somehow be a hero of the world? And you just keep thinking, why does this person and others not understand that radioactivity, depending upon how much is released, is going to affect every living thing in the Northern Hemisphere and eventually the Southern Hemisphere as well?
Linda, when you started investigating a long time ago,
yeah,
what was the very first case that got you into this?
Well, that was the animal mutilations in Colorado, where I was director of special projects, and my job was to do documentaries and news segments and live studio shows on issues that were affecting the state of Colorado. And when the animal mutilations were surging again, I wanted to get to the bottom of it. And I was not thinking ETs at all. I was thinking some sort of government contamination, like the Dugway Proving Ground sheep deaths in Utah that the government of the United States owned up to the fact that they were testing nerve agents without telling a single soul, and all those sheep died. Those are the parts of the government that always bother me when it comes to these issues of what is happening with weapons development and extraterrestrials, and where is our government in relationship to, we should be cherishing life, not trying to kill it all the time. And that there are arguments to be made that we are at some sort of a crossroads where if humanity could meet and know about other life in the universe, it may begin to evolve us faster out of tribal warfare. And that would be a good thing.
Up next, we've got Wayne in Tacoma, Washington. Wayne, you are up with us. Go ahead.
Good evening, Sir George and Lady Linda. How are you doing tonight?
Hi there.
Hello.
I wanted to talk about, I'm a long-time listener. I've been listening for well over 30 years.
Wow.
I broke my back about 45 years ago, so I've been mostly horizontal most of that time. And so I try to, you know, take all of these things into consideration, everything that comes across the line, and look at it through a biblical point of view and what's happening in the world. And, you know, Colonel Philip Corso, as I've mentioned before, had it right on the ball. He was, you know, the first government official that came out and really told what was happening
with Roswell. He was a good guy, and he got slammed by NBC and other people who had narrow minds because why? He brought up in that documentary the very, very unfair. It was not journalism. It was a
hatchet job.
Oh, it was awful. And they kept the camera running when Colonel Corso was in the control room and was talking about the fact that the ET situation involved time travel. And from everything I know, and a whole bunch of other people I know, what they know, time travel is a key. Because when you have advanced technologies that can bend space-time, you are, in effect, you are constantly changing time. And time manipulation goes hand in hand with the transportation technology of these advanced intelligences. And that is all that Colonel Corso was trying to say in that NBC control room. And they took that video, he didn't even know he was being videotaped, and put that at the last 5 minutes of their half-hour documentary in order to pull the rug out from under this man who did not deserve to be slammed in any way. Colonel Corso is a hero.
Hatchet job.
It was. And he was trying to tell the truth with the blessing, actually, of General Arthur Trudeau, who was a good friend of Eisenhower's.
Uh-huh.
Trudeau told Corso when they were alive, if I die first, you tell the story. If you die first, I'll tell the story. And by God, he did. But this shows you, when you're on a planet that has been deliberately manipulated and dumbed down by not allowing the life form, that's us, to know the truth about what their origin is, what is here with us all the time, what else is in the universe, we are disabled, we are weakened, that's how we're manipulated, and that's the part that I keep praying that we can break through this, come out the other side, facing every reality, and then hopefully keep evolving in this universe.
Linda, we will see you at the AlienCon this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Look forward to it.
I'll be there tomorrow.
All right, bring your umbrella.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
God bless everybody.
Linda Moulton, our website, earthfiles.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and you can always email her at earthfiles@earthfiles.com. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.